The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Rise and shine. It's time to talk. Love K-pop? Addicted to Asian dramas? Can't stop watching fan edits? Us too. And we're ready to serve up the ultimate fangirl fix on it.
Whether we're spilling tea about your bias
or ranking our faves,
we're ready to dive into everything Asian media and all of the above.
It's always fun, cozy, and the perfect amount of chaotic in this fangirl frenzy.
Tune in to Rise and Shine on spiritlive.ca. New episodes weekly.
Okay, so welcome back to Rise and Shine.
Part 2.
This is episode 2, yes. And last episode, we left off at talking about phases.
Okay, I think the next phase for me after denial.
Oh my gosh, if you say the same thing.
Skincare.
Oh, yeah.
Skincare?
Skincare and makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started getting interested, but it was more skincare for me. And it was the most basic skincare you could think of, like the aloe vera gel.
I started with that too. I think I also was more into skincare at first, just because like my mom wouldn't let me wear makeup too. So
me too.
I was just like, okay, I'm gonna use only K-beauty skincare products, and then skin will be good like theirs.
I started changing a lot of things about like physical and the way I kind of lived, I guess. Because I remember seeing an article about Taeyeon, Girls' Generation, and she was being asked about her skincare routine, like why her skin is so good. And she said that it's because she drinks a lot of water.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I stopped drinking sodas.
Mm.
That was like 2014 or 2015. I was basically a soda addict. Like, I love drinking sodas. And then after seeing that article from Girls' Generation, I stopped drinking it completely, and I barely drink it now.
Wait, that's so good though.
Yeah, I feel like it was one of the most positive things that happened to me.
But then it got replaced with bubble tea.
Yeah, bubble tea now. But also, I only drink bubble tea once a week. But before, like every time I went to a restaurant, I would order a soda.
Mm-hmm.
But then I switched to like, oh, I'm only drinking water. It did show effects though.
Yeah.
Like my skin was so much more moisturized.
I feel like also on the topic of skincare, I feel all K-pop fans went through a Cosrx phase.
For me, it was Nature Republic.
Oh yeah, Nature Republic too.
Nature Republic.
Yeah.
Because
the
of
Nature
XL.
Republic aloe vera gel.
Oh my god, and also Etude House.
Oh yeah, Etude House.
That
is a
was
big
the biggest
one.
Thing for me. Because
yeah.
Especially before when there weren't a lot of K-pop communities. Like there weren't a lot of chances for you to be immersed in that mm-hmm. culture unless you were in Korea. But at that time, Etude Houses were all over Philippines, and they were so distinct because it was so pink,
yeah.
So Asian. And I would go there just for the vibes. But I remember it being so expensive as well.
I feel like even here, it was so hard to get Asian products. So back then, when I was really into K-pop, Etude House was the most accessible brand.
Yeah.
And since I started listening to K-pop, I started watching more Korean beauty YouTubers. And I think at that time, everyone was like obsessed with Etude House. So yeah, I started getting really into like Korean makeup though. Because
okay.
I wanted to look like an idol,
them?
You know?
Okay.
So I was like only-
Tell me you used the glitter under your eyes.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It was the bling stick,
oh
I think,
gosh.
From Etude House. That
yeah.
was the first makeup that I owned. And it looked horrible on me, but I still did it.
I was like, when I first started to wear makeup, I wanted to look like them. So I only used cushion foundations,
yeah.
even though they were like way too white
yeah.
because the shades back then was so light.
Oh my god.
And then my mom would be like, your face is so white. I'm like, no, it's not.
No, it's not. I bought those cushions just because I see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to try using it as well. But before, because I swam so much and I was always under the sun being in the Philippines, I was so much darker than I am now.
Mm-hmm.
So you could only imagine it would look so crazy on me. But also, I think BB cream was more of like a popular...
Oh yeah, BB cream.
Yeah.
The Misha BB cream.
Oh yes,
that
I had that
so
one.
Popular.
I remember breaking out because of that, but...
Oh no.
It's still in my closet, I think. The first one that I ever had.
I feel like Asian media also inspired a change in like Western makeup, because I think for a long time Western makeup was all about being matte and really bold eyeshadow and like wing liner. Yeah. And now like everyone wants to be like dewy, like
clean girl aesthetic.
Yeah, glass skin. And I feel like that was in Asia already for a while. Like
true.
So when I used to start wearing makeup to school and I wanted to be like idolish makeup, yeah, my skin would be really shiny, right?
I knew you were gonna say that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I would use the dewy cushions. Yeah. And then people at these guys at school would be like, why is your face so shiny? Why do you look so oily?
I was gonna say, oh my god, because I remember my mom and she was just like, why are their faces so oily?
Yeah.
And I was like,
everyone oily. It's oily. Like, I'm like, it's not oil. You just don't get it.
Yeah, it's dewy and it's like very, very clear. That's why it looks shiny, but it wasn't. But yeah, after skincare, the next phase was fan fiction for me.
Oh my gosh. Wait, did you ever write fan? Like, did you ever publish?
Oh my god, yes, I did.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I didn't for a long time. I just used to be an avid fanfic reader. But then when I started to get good at writing and I started writing a lot, I opened a Wattpad.
Oh my god. It was Wattpad for you? Yeah. For me, it was Asian fanfics. It was big at that time.
I think I was too late for that.
Oh, you're calling me old. But yeah, for me, it was Asian fanfics. But also because if you go to Asian fanfics, the most group that is written about is EXO.
Oh,
so maybe that's why, yeah, I was like there.
Even actually before Wattpad, I used to watch fanfic YouTube videos on YouTube. Like,
me too.
The ones where it's just they put a little picture of them and then the text comes up at the bottom and the cast.
And there's like background music.
Yeah. It's always like House of Cards by BTS when the kind of like little scandalous moments happen.
Oh my god. I was reading it as well. I remember reading my first fic and I was like, whoa, this is a whole new world.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. It's probably just because I liked K-pop, but I felt like reading fanfics was so much more enjoyable than reading books, like regular books.
But also I didn't read fanfics that were very predictable and cringy. I read fanfics that were, okay, for the OG K-pop XOLs, I feel like they would know the married life of Mr. Byun. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know.
Is it really popular? It was really popular. Like, more than 10,000 subscribers. Mm. I'm sure someone knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, I got into fan fiction. I wrote my own fanfic. I deleted it, of course, but you're never going to find it again.
Honestly, I think mine is still on Wattpad. Because I think I deleted the app, but I didn't delete the account. So I think it's still there.
Your password.
Probably. Okay, maybe it's saved, but like, it was it's a Stray Kids. I had like a Stray Kids Wattpad because I had a really big Stray Kids phase, but it didn't last that long. I think I started to write them like during like recess though. Like when we have like indoor recess and stuff, I'll write it in my own notebook. Yeah.
Oh my god.
But I wouldn't like publish them or anything like onto like online until like later when I did.
That reminded me, before I started going to AFF to kind of like write it, I would write fan fiction kind of like they call it one shot.
Yeah
I would write one
me
shot
too, in my notebook
and I would exchange it with my friend who was also a
K-pop
fan.
Oh my gosh,
fan.
Me too.
And there were times when we were like, okay, I'm gonna write a fanfic about you and your bias, and then you write a fanfic about me and
me too.
My bias.
I feel like that happened a lot for like a lot of K-pop fans.
Yeah, but it was like that. Okay, that's so funny though.
Honestly, I don't even, do people like still read fanfics, like K-pop fanfics? Are they even popular anymore with the new fan generation for like fifth gen and stuff?
I'm not sure about new fans, but I still read it. Like, I read it regularly. There are still good fanfics out there.
I used to read like the really cringy ones, but like, I was just like,
I mean, sometimes it's fun.
I was being nostalgic a few months ago and I just went on Wattpad to like see what there is. And like, there's actually good ones that are not cringy and not like rated like 18
type.
Plus.
Oh, Shakespeare type of writing.
Yeah.
And it's always people who are like, oh, sorry for typos. This is not, English is not my first language.
Yeah.
It was always coming from those people that had like the best stories.
Yeah. But I think this is like the same time during fanfics, but I went through like a wanting to be an idol phase.
Oh my god, me too. You ever audition?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Like multiple times.
Oh my god, me too. That's
but
actually crazy.
I was really ugly back then. Like,
okay,
it was like the peak puberty phase for me.
Oh my god.
So my skin was really bad and like my face was just like so puffy and I didn't really have a personal style and stuff. Yeah. So, and I wasn't that confident. So it was a really bad time to be doing that. But
oh my gosh.
That was a long phase for me.
Oh my gosh, me too. It ended just recently.
Really? I think mine ended maybe during high school, grade 11 maybe. Because I thought that I got too old. So I was like, I'll give up.
When I turned 20, I was like, yeah. It's never gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because they're like allergic to non-teenagers.
Honestly, that was one of the reasons why I decided to apply to media production, because I was like, if I can't be an idol, then I'm gonna be involved in a different way.
Bye. Okay, me too. That's actually so crazy. Like, I started, like, okay, that's another story, but yeah, that's not gonna talk about. But yeah, for me, the face was also being an idol. Okay, so. At least for me, I auditioned first to the big companies, so SM, YG, and JYP. And at that time, they were still using emails to hold auditions. It wasn't as, I guess, developed as it is now. Mm-hmm. And outside of Japan, China, and Korea, it was hard to come by in-person auditions. There would never be auditions in the Philippines because...
Wait, what year is this?
So my face... started like 2015, 2016, and then I stopped for a bit.
Okay.
And then I resumed like 2018 up until 2020 when I was bored because of COVID. But yeah, I auditioned because I know how to sing.
Okay.
But yeah, I was very delusional because I in no way fit the Korean beauty standards.
Yeah.
But before, I was just like so dark.
I feel like before they also... cared about that kind of like
Now it's more if you look pretty everywhere you're gonna look pretty to them, but before it was more you have to look like Taeyeon, you have to look like Sully from
FX.
They
all had this like specific look they look for.
And it was very strict, so you never really had a chance to get in to one of those companies.
Like, I feel like the most foreign was like even Chinese idols were not even that common.
There
was like three like Thai idols.
Bam. At that time. But you would also notice.
It's not even Thai idols yet.
Yeah.
Only like Neen maybe.
But also he looks Korean.
Yeah, he looks more Korean, yeah.
So it makes sense. But auditioned to YG and then I left it off because I was very distracted because I was just super young. And I remember opening my email again after some time, probably a year. And I found in my spam email that it was YG Entertainment. They were asking me for another video.
Oh my gosh.
They were asking me for another video, but it was like sent 8 months ago.
Oh my gosh, 8 months?
Yeah.
You found it after 8 months?
I found it after 8 months. Because I kind of like gave up after it. Like I was continuously checking my email for the next 3 months after I auditioned, but I think they were kind of like notorious for getting back to you a really, really long period. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't really expect it. But yeah, they were asking me for one more video and to send it to a different email address at that time. And I think I didn't reply because I was already done the face, at least the part one of my face. Yeah. I was like, I don't really want to do it because I was so into studying nursing at that time.
Ooh.
Or like becoming a nurse.
You were wanting to do nursing before?
Yeah, I did nursing for like a year before switching to media production. But yeah, because I was so busy with school, I didn't really pay attention to that one. And then my phase two started when COVID happened and we were just like locked in. And Hybe times Geffen was happening at that time.
Oh,
poor cat's eye.
When that happened, that was like my end of the phase.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
For me, it started way before Hybe and Geffen announced their auditions, but because they announced it at a time where I was still into it, so that was dark history, honestly. I don't even want to talk about it. But because they were looking for
non-Koreans. People, right?
Yeah. So I thought it would be like a bigger chance, but maybe not.
I mean, they're having another one though.
I'm too old for it. But
yeah, I think they said the cap was like 07.
Oh my god, literally a baby. Like, the, you know those jokes where next time entertainment companies would be waiting in front of kindergarten schools?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's just getting younger now.
Yeah.
It's kind of bad. But before Hybe and Geffen, I was auditioning to every entertainment company you could think of, even the small ones, because maybe I have a better chance of getting in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing online auditions because it was like a thing because of COVID. And I also went to Korea at that time, and they were holding in-person auditions.
Yeah.
And I participated because it was like a public audition. And every time I would sing something, they would always say,
"Good
you
voice.
Sound too much like a singer."
Oh, actually, yeah, I've heard of like people getting that comment. Like,
yeah,
they look for a different type of...
Yeah, I think that was one of the main feedbacks I always get, is that I sound too much
That's
like
a compliment,
a singer.
Though.
Like, they would say it in a positive light, but they would also do a more extended explanation afterwards and be like, so K-pop entertainment companies, they usually look for voices that they can still train.
Yeah.
So they like really clear voices without techniques. So they don't like soul voices. And growing up in the Philippines, it's always like singers like Whitney Houston or Mariah Carey that were popular at that time. So we would imitate the way that they sing. And I think that's why they said, you sound too much like a singer.
That makes sense. The first audition that I ever did was an online SM one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. I sent in, because at that time, like, I did dance a bit. So I was like, I did dancing, but I wasn't that good because I started like just a few years before that.
Okay.
And the studio that I went to was like kind of like, I don't want to say
sketchy.
Like, yeah, kind of. Like, they weren't that serious. Like, I wasn't in a competitive team. Yeah. I just went to like a studio. And then so, and I mostly did like ballet and like acro.
So you are a dancer?
No, not anymore.
Okay,
but
right.
Yeah, I mostly did like ballet, acro, and like contemporary. So like the style is like so different from like K-pop. And I didn't really know how to translate it into like K-pop choreography, I guess. So then I just tried to copy them, right? From the YouTube tutorials. I did Red Velvet.
I did Twice.
Oh my gosh. I used to learn the Twice choreographies too, but yeah, I sent in a, I think, what is it called? Red Flavor? Yeah, I sent
Red
in
Flavor.
Red Flavor. And then I didn't hear back, obviously. But then I went to an in-person one.
I feel like you could do it though.
What?
I feel like you could pass.
Oh gosh, no. Back then I was like so chopped, like not even funny. But yeah, I went to an in-person JYP audition.
Ooh, okay.
And that was like my first time doing any type of audition.
It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I was really nervous. I forgot my dance. So I learned, I think 24 karat. Okay. I learned it and then I got there and I forgot the dance.
Oh my God.
I had to freestyle. But
oh
like,
my God.
They weren't like, they were like playing. I don't know if it was a good thing, but they were letting me dance for so long.
Okay, that means they were giving you a chance.
But then they didn't ask me to stay back or anything, so.
Oh.
Yeah. But I was like hoping. But then after that, I didn't really do online auditions because I was kind of embarrassed, like in front of my family. So I would have nowhere to film really. So then I went to more like on in-person ones. I went to YG and I rapped.
Oh my God, I had a rapping face.
Oh my God. Cause I was like, I don't think I'm good enough at singing. So maybe if I rap, they'll see the potential and I can be like Lisa.
Oh my God. That is so funny because I also, because I felt like I had more chances if I knew a lot of things, so I never listened to rap music, but I started rapping because of K-pop. And if anyone finds that audio, I'm dead. It's actually
cringe. Me too.
But I also started learning choreography because of K-pop, because they would always ask me to.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I don't know how to dance.
But honestly, I heard some idols just clap their hands.
Yeah.
Like, if you have rhythm, then they'll take you.
It's because they're super pretty or super handsome.
Yeah, that's
true. I know Lucas of NCT did that.
I owe his hit that specific video where he explains how he got in.
And he passed because he's good looking.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's the biggest thing ever. Like, in Toronto as well, do you know Thornhill Dream Makers?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I went to one of the auditions. The YG audition was held there that I went to.
I was there.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's
crazy.
Okay, maybe. Okay, yeah. Because I didn't know you then. It was one of 2023.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, no. I went to an earlier one. I think I went to like 2019.
Okay, no. Okay. Because I went to 2022, I think, or 2023. But
oh,
it was a Dreammakers one. And I was way past the limit that they set, because I think it was like 2006 that they set
oh
as
gosh.
The maximum.
Okay.
And the minimum was 2011. So
there were babies. Back then, 2011 is like less than 10 years old. Like,
yeah, they would accept 2011. But I still went because they never really cared. Like, even if I put the year of birth on the application form, mm-hmm. they would still let me in. Mm-hmm. So I went there. But I sang When We Were Young by Adele.
Okay.
But yeah, they let me finish because sometimes they don't like, let you finish, off, right?
Yeah.
They always let me finish. And I think that's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
Okay.
Okay.
See you.